Chapter 8. An forced a relaxed smile and turned slowly. The face that stared back at him was vivid green, covered in scales and bumps. Black glassy eyes sat atop a short trunk-like nose. Greedo. In the grand scheme of bounty hunters and henchmen, the Rodian was about as dangerous as a fly buzzing around a bantha's bottom. Unfortunately, he was on the trigger-happy end of the spectrum of Jabba's hired help. The captain slid back into the booth, relaxing in his seat. If he showed a hint of nerves around the cretin, even with a gun pointed at him, Han would never forgive himself.
As a matter of fact, I was just about to go see your boss, but now you can tell Jabba that I've got his money.
It's too late,
Greedo said, a little too happily for Han's liking.
You should have paid him when you had the chance. Jabba's put a price on your head so large that every bounty hunter in the galaxy will be looking for you. I'm lucky I found you first.
Han was lucky too. If it had been a reputable bounty hunter, say Boba Fett, he would have been in a galaxy of trouble. Still, he wasn't sure if Jabba's contract on his life had the dead or alive clause, so he wasn't about to go shooting off his mouth.
Yeah, but this time I got the money.
If you give it to me, I might forget I found you.
Greedo leaned across the table. He would have winked if he had a sense of humor.
I don't have it with me. Look, it was a little thing getting boarded.
Han slowly reached for his gun under the table, sliding it from the holster at his hip. His fingers brushed against the cool metal as he sucked in a lungful of the cantina's warm, smoky air.
You can tell that to Jabba. He may only take your ship.
Now it was Han's turn to sneer.
Over my dead body.
The Rodian laughed, the sound trumpeting out of his snout as he trained his gun right on Han's heart.
That's the idea. I've been looking forward to killing you for a long time.
A slow smile spread across the captain's face.
Yeah, I'll bet you have.
Greedo disappeared in a blinding flash of white light as Han pulled the trigger on his gun. The thump as Greedo's body slumped onto the table made the other cantina patrons look over. Poor Greedo, Han thought, glancing down at the smoking corpse as he stood again. Never realized Han could shoot under a table just as well as above it.
I said no blasters,
the barkeep growled.
For your trouble.
Han reached into his pocket and flipped him a coin.
Sorry about the mess.
He couldn't get out of that cantina fast enough. The hot wall of desert air slammed into him as he stepped outside. Like walking into an oven, he thought, shielding his eyes from the sun beating down overhead. The dust flying through the air was thick that day. An unusual number of stormtroopers were kicking it up in the unpaved streets, dirtying their pristine white uniforms. Soon they'd blend in with the tan, sun-bleached buildings around them. Now he had a really bad feeling about the job. And that feeling only got worse when he saw Chewie hovering outside the hangar door and heard a deep voice calling to him in Huttese.
Come out, Solo.
His co-pilot glanced back at him, hearing his boots shuffling through the loose sand.
Didn't want to go in alone?
Han asked, patting Chewie's shoulder.
I don't blame you. Let's get it over with.
Solo!
Slithering along the ground like the slug he was, Jabba waited outside the Millennium Falcon, shouting for Han. A half dozen of Jabba's henchmen circled the ship. Han crossed his arms over his chest, counting the weapons strapped to each of the thugs. Jabba seemed to be starting a collection of the system's ugliest, with himself as the crown jewel. Han had told Chewie his theory once that, unlike other life forms, the Hutts hadn't evolved from sparks of life and matter. The galaxy had simply belched them out one day. As long as Han was tall and carrying about 5 times Han's weight, the hut was a putrid combination of brown and yellowing green skin. All warts and wrinkles and a drooling tongue, he seemed incapable of keeping inside his mouth.
"I've been waiting for you, Jabba," Han said, letting his voice echo through the hangar.
When Jabba and the others turned, Han felt his stomach flip. The hut's gold, reptile-like eyes tracked Han's movements as he came closer.
"I expected you would be."
"I'm not the type to run."
Well, a solid 60% of the time he wasn't. Jabba liked to talk to him as if Han were his wayward son. Han let him because Han enjoyed keeping his life.
"Han, my boy, there are times when you disappoint me. Why haven't you paid me? And why did you have to fry poor Greedo like that?"
News traveled fast, it seemed. "You sent Greedo to blast me," Han reminded him.
Those gold eyes widened in fake shock.
"You're the best smuggler in the business. You're too valuable to fry. He was only relaying my concern at your delays. He wasn't going to blast you."
Han waved a hand dismissively.
"If you've got something to say to me, come see me yourself."
"Han, Han!"
Jabba let out one of his belly laughs, the same kind he gave as he fed slaves to his pet rancor.
"You're my favorite scoundrel, don't you know? You and I are alike. We love money. The smell of it, the feel of it, the weight of it in our pockets. I understand you better than you think."
Han recoiled at the thought that he was anything like the slug in front of him.
"If only you hadn't had to dump that shipment of spice. You understand I can't make an exception? Where would I be if all my smugglers dumped their shipment at the first sight of an Imperial starship? It's not good for business."
"I had no choice. But I've got a charter now, and I can pay you back, plus a little extra. I just need some time."
Han held up his hands.
"Come on. How long have I been running for you? And this is the first time I've had to ditch the cargo?"
Jabba seemed to consider that.
"For an extra, say, 20%, I'll give you a little more time. But this is it. If you disappoint me again, I'll put a price on your head so large you won't be able to go near a civilized system for the rest of your short life."
Han gave a little bow, then expertly talked the crime lord down to 15%.
"Always a pleasure to do business with you."
Jabba was still laughing as he slithered out of the hangar, the others trailing behind him like faithful pets. Han's stomach didn't unclench until Jabba was gone from sight, and Chewie let out a relieved rumble from deep in his chest.
"You said it," Han said. "Think he would have sold us into slavery, or just sent us shooting out into the vacuum of space to watch us pop into little splats?"
Neither of which would be the worst of what the hut had done. What Jabba lacked in looks, he made up for an endless creativity in hiding the bodies of his enemies. Han mopped the sweat off the back of his neck and shuddered.
"All right, time to get down to work. Let's get her ready to fly."
It felt good to get back in the swing of things. He and Chewie ran through all the usual pre-flight checks, recalibrating some of the instruments and charting the course they'd take to the Alderaan system. Han was lovingly polishing one of the control panels when he heard someone cry, "What a piece of junk!"
The kid, of course.
Clearly that one was fresh off the moisture farm if he couldn't recognize the beauty of the Falcon's fine lines. The YT-series was the height of Corellian engineering genius. A triumph.
Maybe she was getting on in age. and some of her plates didn't match. Maybe he hadn't been able to paint over some of the worst scorch marks. But so what? It was what was inside that counted most. Han didn't have much good in his life, aside from Chewie. His ship was the only thing he could count on in a real fight. She was the love of his life. Had been from the moment he won her from another scoundrel in a game of cards. And if the sand rat didn't stop insulting her, he was going to find himself blasted back down to Tatooine in an escape pod. Han walked down the boarding ramp to meet them. She'll make 0.5 beyond the speed of light. She may not look like much, but she's got it where it counts, kid. I've added some special modifications myself. Luke scratched his head, shooting the old man an uncertain look. Han closed his eyes and counted to 10. 17,000, he reminded himself. If it was a choice between Jabba slowly feeding pieces of him to a pit of acid or dealing with a little punk, he could deal with the punk. We're a little rushed, Han said, sweeping his hands toward the ramp. So if you'll hurry aboard, we'll get out of here. Trailing behind the humans were two droids. One a golden humanoid protocol droid, who shuffled forward on stiff limbs and surveyed the hangar with round, glowing eyes. The other, a white cylindrical astromech droid on three legs, with a silver-domed head and blue detailing. Its small alert light flashed blue and red as it swiveled its head around. Both looked like they'd been rolling around the dunes for days. Han waited until they were all on board before starting up the ramp behind them. He cast one last look over his shoulder. One more trip back. After he got his money, he'd make one final trip to that pit to deliver it to Jabba. And then he'd make sure to keep a few systems between him and the hut.
Stop that ship!
Han did a double take, spinning around. The thunder of feet and clattering armor was his only warning before stormtroopers poured into the hangar. Their blaster rifles were already up.
Blast them!
The one out front ordered. Han swore in three different languages as he ducked up the ramp, chased by bolts of energy burning the air around him. He turned back and fired with his own blaster. Throwing himself up through the overhead door, he slammed his palm against its release button. The stormtrooper's shots glanced off the Millennium Falcon's shields. Chewie! Han called as he rushed past the holding area. He glanced around to make sure their passengers were buckling in. Get us out of here! His co-pilot roared back from the cockpit, drowning out the protocol droid Snooty.
Oh my, I've forgotten how much I hate space travel.
The Falcon was already clear of the hangar by the time Han collapsed into the pilot's seat, his hands flying across the console. They rose above the dingy, sand-whipped buildings of Mos Eisley, heading into the early afternoon sky. It never got old, seeing the way the sky purpled and darkened as they blasted out of the atmosphere. That was why Han loved flying. And pulling off a narrow escape wasn't such a bad feeling either. Han had barely sat down in the pilot's chair next to Chewie when the Wookiee pointed to the sensor scope, growling out a warning. Han's stomach clenched at the sight of the large blip rapidly approaching them as they broke clear of Tatooine's atmosphere and entered the black, gaping mouth of outer space.
Looks like an Imperial cruiser. Our passengers must be hotter than I thought. Try and hold them off. Angle the deflector shield while I make the calculations for the jump to light speed.
As his hands flew over the navigation console, Han was vaguely aware of the silver and blue astromech droid rolling past the open cockpit door, beeping out what sounded like a few questions. Ignored, he rolled away, headed toward Luke and Ben to slip into a small space beside 3PO. Luke and Ben made their way into the cramped cockpit, where Han was continuing his calculations. Great. Now he had an audience.
Stay sharp, he warned Chewie. It looks like we have two more Imperial ships coming in. They're going to try to cut us off before we can make the jump to hyperspace.
His co-pilot shot him an irritated look, clearly already two steps ahead of him. What could he say? One Imperial Star Destroyer, about 50 times the size of the Falcon, was enough to make him a little nervous. Three made him downright jumpy. Luke leaned forward for a better look.
Why don't you outrun them? I thought you said this thing was fast.
What was that, the fourth time the kid had insulted his baby?
Watch your mouth, kid, or you're gonna find yourself floating home. We'll be safe enough once we make the jump to hyperspace. Besides, I know a few maneuvers.
More to himself than the others, he promised.
We'll lose them.
The Millennium Falcon bucked wildly at the first hits from the Imperial cruisers. White-blue sparks flashed outside the viewport, but the shields held.
Here's where the fun begins, he told the others.
Adrenaline pumped through him, filling his chest like a balloon.
How long before you can make the jump to light speed?
The old man was the calm eye at the center of a storm. His pale blue eyes watched the sea of stars in front of him. He didn't seem particularly bothered, even as the ship shuddered and rocked around them, like it was on the verge of exploding.
It'll take a few moments to get the coordinates from the navicomputer.
Are you kidding? Luke cried. At the rate they're gaining?
Good thing he didn't finish that thought. Han glared at him.
This kid, honestly.
Traveling through hyperspace ain't like dusting crops, boy. Without precise calculations, we could fly right through a star, or bounce too close to a supernova, and that'd end your trip real quick, wouldn't it?
The fire from the Star Destroyers came fast and hot, now that Chewie could no longer avoid the bulk of it. Han braced a hand against the side paneling of the cockpit, and input the last of the new coordinates. A red light flashed overhead, beeping out warning after warning after warning. Han winced.
What does that flashing mean?
Luke asked.
We're, losing our deflector shield. Go strap yourself in! I'm gonna make the jump to light speed!
And not a second too soon. Han met Chewbacca's light eyes.
Punch it!
The stars brightened around them, flaring to life in the second before the ship picked up speed. He was pushed back against his seat as the Falcon flew forward into hyperspace, leaving the Imperial cruisers to eat its dust. Han let out an exhilarated laugh.
Okay, so maybe that was the best part of flying.